Thank you for having me, really, first and foremost. As the director of social media at OWN, one of the neatest parts of my job is getting to see how OWN cultivates community and super fans for all of our television shows. It's really not a terribly hard thing to do these days in social media as far as television's concerned. If you think about your own behaviors, you take to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram when you are watching television or after you've watched a television show to talk about that show with folks. So it's not something terribly unique to OWN, but we do it in a really cool way, and or so I think. And so I'm here to share a couple of those examples with you. So before I get started into the two case studies, I know that not everybody knows maybe everything about the Oprah Winfrey Network, and especially our presence on social. So I just wanted to start with sort of a primer on who we are and what we do on social and how we look at social for you all. So the screen keeps going in and out. It's like when I step. this is like Dance Dance Revolution. Also, am I just a floating head? It's like black on black, so it's just, I'm just a floating white head. so surely you know our namesake, fearless leader, Miss Oprah Winfrey. But in addition to that, we have an incredible slew of network talent and actors and actresses. And then in addition to that, we of course have our network presence. Boy, this is gonna be fun. And our television program presence on social. No, it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. And all of that combined, so Oprah, our creators like Ava DuVernay, Will Packer, Mara Brock-Akeel, Michael B. Jordan, Terrell Alvin McCraney, our actors like Merle Dandridge, Lynn Whitfield, Keith David, Kadeen Hardison, and then our show pages, Super Soul, OWN, Greenleaf, Queen Sugar, Love Is, all of that combined creates this, what we call 100 million power of social. But it's nice to throw out a big number and say you have all of these followers and this mass, but mass really means nothing if you can't materialize it into conversation. And that's what OWN is really uniquely powerful at doing. So when you think about OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, some of you out there, hopefully some of you watch at least Super Soul Sunday or one of our other shows, or maybe have a friend who loves our network and one of our shows. But we're not even fully distributed when you think of us versus a Bravo or a VH1 or even a BET. So we don't even have the scale in television homes that some of those networks do. And yet last year, three of the top 10 most social cable dramas were three of our shows. And five of our premieres, either our series or our season premieres, were the most social show in their time slot. And almost every night of the week, one of the top trending topics on Twitter is an Oprah Winfrey Network television show. So it's social is, and I'd be remiss not to mention that in 2017, we were the number one most social African-American cable drama audience with over 6.3 million social interactions. So social for us is so important, as I'm sure it is to many of you. And just to further prove the point, in last year in 2017, two of our season premieres garnered more social interactions than 10 of the biggest African-American premieres. So heavy hitters like The Real Housewives of Atlanta from Bravo, Snowfall and Atlanta on FX, again, networks that have who are starting from an even more advantaged starting point than OWN is in terms of just overall distribution. And the great thing that I love about our viewers and our social followers is they're not just talking about our shows, but they're feeling. They take to social to express four of the most dynamic emotions about what they see on our network. They say that it is brilliant, it makes them happy, it makes them excited, and they enjoy it. And as someone who works in social media on a brand like Oprah Winfrey and the Oprah Winfrey Network, there's really nothing better than those four words and emotions. So really through scale and mass and the ability to galvanize our viewers and our audiences into vocal enthusiasts, and then to channel that conversation into something that is positive and affirming, own really creates super fans. And I could throw up tweets and screenshots of how people talk about our show, but I felt like, about our shows rather, that's sort of two-dimensional. And so I brought a video where we took to social and we found super fans of one of our scripted dramas called Queen Sugar, which is exec produced by Ava DuVernay, who you may know from the movies Selma and Wrinkle in Time. And keep in mind, this is a fictional scripted drama about a family who runs a sugarcane farm in Louisiana. And the way that people talk about this show, I think you'll find as incredible as we do at OWN, and you'll see what I mean by super fans.
This land's been paid for.
Over and over again.
All I know is we ain't going nowhere.
It's a breath of fresh air on television.
It's honest. It's raw, it's real, it's relatable.
Queen Sugar does a really good job of just bringing you into the actual moment.
My being here is about my father and my family. It's about legacy.
I relate to Charlie because I feel like I'm the one that's trying to be strong, especially for my family. I'm trying to do it all, be it all.
When Charlie broke down, that happened to me.
It's a space where a lot of single mothers think that they have to pretend to be strong when they've gone through a lot and they just need to heal.
As an advocate, I throw my heart into my work, and Nova, she works from the heart.
There's a moment where she says, like, these black bodies are real.
We cannot allow black bodies to simply be disposed of like trash.
That really made me pause for a second and think back to, like, my own experience.
Get out of the car now!
Being the mother of a black child, in that moment, it wasn't a show, and he wasn't a character. It was my son and all of his friends, and it was every black son in the world today.
It challenges the viewers and the audience to really think through, what would you do if that were you?
I just think sometimes people deserve a second chance.
I love Ralph Angel. I mean, he's easy to look at.
We're gonna get two ice cream sundaes, one for my son. For his doll.
In that moment, he just like very adamantly defends his son and his decisions to play with that doll, right? I just love the way the show like normalizes like these different representations of masculinity.
Papa, it's Blue.
That scene was so familiar. When Blue laid his head on Ernest's chest, I literally had the sensation of it was me putting my head again on my dad's chest.
That resonated with me because my father passed away and I didn't get to say a proper goodbye. And I wish that I would have had the opportunity to do the same thing. Yeah.
We never think about our loved ones and how a simple phone call would be helpful.
We are all here, Daddy. We will live out the legacy you left us.
Queen Sugar is different from other shows because it celebrates how complicated people are.
I cannot express how amazing it feels to watch women on screen speak to the power that lies in having passion and purpose and being unapologetic.
Queen Sugar is essential. Queen Sugar is life. Queen Sugar is us.
And I know I'm not supposed to pick favorite children, but Queen Sugar is my favorite child. If there's one show that you go and watch on OWN, and I believe both seasons, I think all the seasons are available on Hulu, it's Queen Sugar. I just, as you can tell, it's incredible. And yes, again, those people that you just watched are real folks like you and I who we found on social media talking about our show. And that's truly the type of conversations that they have on social media. And that's what I love about our brand, is that it's not just television. It allows people to see themselves in a way that they've never seen themselves before. And that's the type of conversations that we see. So now that we've talked about OWN and sort of how we think about social, our size, our scale, sort of how we create these super fans, I'll dive right into our first case study. So who here has seen Super Soul Sunday with Oprah Winfrey? Great, some hands. So for those of you, because there's a lot that don't know about what Super Soul is, we have a quick, I think, 30 or 40 second video to explain exactly what it is, which will help.
The only limit to your success is your own imagination. I really do think that that is true.
Super Soul is a place where people go to wake up.
Every chance I've taken is the one that's impossible. I always say to people, why do the possible thing? It's boring if you succeed.
Preach, Grandma, preach!
Be inspired.
I knew that the only place I could find that would fill that God-sized hole was with me.
Vulnerability is the best measure of courage.
Learn from some of the world's biggest thought leaders, a destination for all things inspirational, whether you're on the go or looking for daily wisdom.
This is the moment I was not prepared for.
Light up your path to becoming all you are meant to be.
So before I get there, so Super Soul was, it started out at the inception of the network in 2011 as a Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific television show, 1 hour format, Oprah interviewing someone. It was really her, it's like she couldn't give up the Oprah Winfrey show. So she decided to do it at 11 a.m. on Sundays, but it's less celebrities and more thought leaders and spiritual luminaries. And it had a strong following, but again, it was only on at 11 a.m. on linear television. You had to have OWN to see it, so there was a lot of barriers to getting that content. And in the spring of last year, Miss Winfrey challenged us to think about how could we move from roughly 1 million views per week to 2 million views. She wanted, as one of the world's greatest teachers, and that's one of her crusades in life, is to have everyone use their life as a classroom, and to use her platform to do that as well. She wanted to have this content seen by more people because she felt it was so important. So what we did is we had to think about how do you take long-form video that lives as a 42-minute episode plus 18 minutes of commercials on a Sunday morning and get it into the hands of more people on more platforms. So instead of making folks come to us, we drove the content to them. And we did that in stages. We started by broadcasting the episodes on Sunday morning at the same time it aired on linear television, on Oprah's Facebook page and on Super Soul's Facebook page. And so we just took the long form asset and removed the commercials from it, the commercial load, so it's now a 42-minute piece of content, and streamed it as a live event on Facebook. And we had to get creative about that because there was not technology built into Facebook to do that. So we had to use a third-party vendor to do it, and it was messy and tricky. And I think on our first broadcast, somebody on my team was broadcasting and there was audio hooked up and she was speaking, so like everyone around the world who was watching could also hear her and hear the guest. So it was not perfect. It's become more perfect over time, but that was our first step into expanding into a new audience. And then last summer we launched Super Soul Conversations, the podcast, which is essentially, again, these episodes that we took. We stripped out the national commercial ad load and some of the expensive third-party material that we couldn't get cleared, and we still had a great episode left, and we turned it into a podcast. And it launched as the number one podcast that day on Apple Podcasts. It has been downloaded in every country around the world, so we've truly taken Super Soul global. It's been downloaded more than 80 million times. I guess I'll advance to the next slide with all our bragging rights. And so again, a new audience out of long form video, a podcast was born. In addition, we went from publishing on social and digital as a purely promotional play, right? Like this Sunday, watch this episode. We went from promotion to publishing. So we were publishing between 5 to 7 pieces of short form content across YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and our TV Everywhere app every day. And then in February of this year, we did what we call Super Soul Sessions. Here in New York at the Apollo Theater, you saw some clips of that. So Trevor Noah and Jordan Peele, Salma Hayek, Yara Shahidi, Stephen Colbert. So Oprah brought together all of them and basically did Super Soul Conversations for an entire day at the Apollo Theater so that real people could come in person to watch that. So we really took, again, that long form asset and put it on digital, live events, social, and audio into this multi-platform brand. And if you remember, I said that her goal was for us to move from 1 million weekly views or downloads to 2 million in 2017, from last July when we started this publishing platform, which we started on the day that we launched our podcast, to July of this year, we amassed over 211 million views and downloads that year, which equated to 4 million views a week. So we doubled what our goal was. So. So I've talked a little bit about how we did it, but I can get a bit more into the specifics. So one of those key tenets, I would say, for someone, for all of you in the room who think about what's your most important asset that you have, because I know we come from so many different brands. There's Fujifilm in the room and Pampered Chef in the room and Domino's Pizza, and you all have something different and unique. Maybe I shouldn't lean against this. So think about what that is. And are you meeting consumers and your audiences where they are, or are you asking them to come to you? Because that was truly, I think, if we look at the success of Supersoul, that was the number one contributor to why it was successful. So we went, again, from linear to putting it on Facebook Live to creating a podcast to putting it on over-the-top devices and TV Everywhere apps, social, digital. We looked at those places and spaces that our consumers were, and we met them there. And a second tenet to this is you don't have to reinvent, you can repurpose. So we literally didn't create anything new. We had these long form, incredible, beautifully shot episodes. And again, we just removed ads from them to put it on Facebook. We removed ads for them to put it into the podcast environment and stripped out the audio for the podcast environment. We took clips to put on social and digital, and we put quotes from the show. We took quotes from these tremendous spiritual luminaries and thought leaders and created social graphics for Instagram, which I'll talk about in just a second on why that's important. And why that's important is the third piece of this, the third dogmatic takeaway, is publish with nuance. So even in a world where, like, at every conference and every white paper that you read will say you have to do social video, video number one, video first, mobile first, all of that, we studied and listened to our consumer and tested in the early days of Supersoul and found that on Instagram there was this interesting thing happening where if we took a quote, like, who is this? I think this is a Nelson Mandela. If we took a quote from one of the Supersoul guests and put it into these social graphics that we ended up calling quote cards on Instagram, the engagement was something like 10 to 20 times higher than when we posted video on Instagram. So for whatever reason, our viewers and our audiences love this content more than video. So you don't, like, find what works for you and publish with nuance. We found that on Facebook especially, 3 to 5 minute videos, which is on the longer side of short form, worked tremendously well. People were devouring those. We saw that through watch time, through repeat visits and repeat viewers, new viewers. So study your consumers and then publish with nuance. So I just gave the people who work on this on Supersoul would probably cringe if they saw this presentation, because there's so much more to it. I mean, that was a supremely simplified version of how we did this. But with that, there are these, I would, like Mike said, I would call them thought starters in terms of, you know, you may not have long form video like we do at OWN, because I don't think there's a ton of media companies in the room, but anyone can start by looking at where are your consumers, where are those places and spaces that your consumers are living and consuming, and are you there? And if you aren't, how can you meet them there? I think that's one of the most important questions to be asking. And then number two is, what content or what asset do you have that's unique to you, right, that you could repurpose to create additional touch points? So if you are Pampered Chef, your most prized asset are your shoppers and your gadgets that you sell people. So what can you do with that in a unique way? If you're Fujifilm, your unique asset, oh my Lord, is your film and memories and photos, and what can you do with that? How can you stretch that to the limits like we did with long form video? And then study your consumers. How do your consumers' preferences vary across touch points? And are you applying, or are you rather adapting to those nuances? And then the fourth one, which I didn't touch on, but I'm going to touch on right now, is have you explored beta tests, alpha tests, developer programs with your social partners? So as I talked about at the beginning with Facebook, when we took Supersoul and we put it on Facebook and we had to use a third-party software and it was extremely clunky, we were one of the first publishers to do that on Facebook, and they took notice because we were sort of hacking what a Facebook Live should be, because no one was live. We were just taking a formerly filmed episode and broadcasting it as a live moment so that people got the notification that Oprah Winfrey was live. And it did create a habit of folks checking every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on Facebook or on Linear. It was beneficial, but it wasn't necessarily true, right? We weren't live. And so we sort of started that trend. Other publishers took note and started doing it as well. And Facebook actually recently rolled out what they call Facebook Premieres, which is a product built into the interface so that you no longer need a third-party vendor to do this, which allows you to premiere a video on demand or a formerly created asset as a live moment on Facebook, and then you're able to monetize it now by inserting ads into it. So it's all to say, work with your social partners. If you have an idea, a minimally viable product, a proof of concept, something like we did by showing there's an audience here when we broadcast as a live moment, there are things that they can do to support and fund and provide guidance or even influence their product roadmaps to make sure that you are succeeding. So that was case study number one. Case study number two is really exciting. So this is brand new. We haven't really even shared much of this with anyone, with any of our advertising clients or anything. So you guys are getting a sneak peek. And this one's near and dear to my heart because I'm sort of the sole change agent and lead on this against some internal assaging, I would say. So, you know, our focus at the end of the day and where we make our money is on our television shows. And so there's always a little hesitancy to go above and beyond resources and time spent on marketing our television shows. But for me, one of the things that we noticed from our heavily female audience and heavily female women of color audience is this unarticulated need that there's no place on social and digital for women, especially women of color, to be themselves, to have a sense of community and connection, to be entertained, to get resources, to get all of these things with a community and storytelling. We provide that in the scripted television space and even in our unscripted reality television programming. But at the end of the day, that's a television show. It's not a community. It's not a group, and they wanted that, and we heard from them, and there is an upside to it for the network. But if you just think about it from what it is, it's if we were to deliver on that need, we are giving something without the expectation that we're getting anything in return, because it would not be promotional to the network or to our television shows. It would be in fulfilling an unarticulated need and something that potentially could endear our viewers further to our brand. And it's something that I felt was so important to the future of OWN. And so we did it. And we created what we call The Know. So it's a multi-platform destination. I'm gonna give you my official log line. It's a multi-platform destination for serving curated lifestyle content and honest conversations for the African American woman, shaped by leading social creators and cultivators. The project is underwritten with funding by Facebook. Again, they've been, I think they're in the room today too, they've been tremendous partners for us and continue to be. And why now and why did we do this? There is no place, as I mentioned, in digital or social for the African-American women of all backgrounds to see themselves, to support each other, to share and be vulnerable, to have meaningful conversations, and to access resources. So this is that place for conversation and honest exchanges about all areas of life that matter to them. And if you're familiar with some of the larger publishing brands for African Americans, there's Essence, and they did this really well with lifestyle content in the print world, but it never really translated into a community or on social and digital. You have Huffington Post Black Voices. Again, there's not a sense of community there. You have Blavity, but that's really for the youngest end of the spectrum, and our viewers are certainly older. So really, truly, there is no one who's doing this in our space. Oh, we're gonna have a video. So we created an official trailer for this community and this accompanying video series. So this will explain maybe a little bit better what this is.
Always ask a question. The answer can only be yes or no. But if you don't ask, the answer is automatically no.
So it's a community, and it's also a Facebook Watch series. That's how it starts. And eventually, after it's been on Facebook, we have an exclusivity period with them. So the episodes and the Facebook group live on Facebook. And then after a couple weeks, we're allowed to publish on our owned and operated platforms like Oprah.com, our TV Everywhere app. And then after a period, we're able to publish anywhere, Twitter, YouTube. So over time, we'll continue to scale in views and size and mass. What's my next slide? Okay, so we've got another video. So this is how new it is. Our first four episodes we filmed, as you saw in the trailer, we want to deliver on things like fashion and food and relationships and home and garden and all of those lifestyle aspects that our viewers are not getting on linear television, but that they crave. And so we launched our first four episodes in New York right after Labor Day at Harlem's Fashion Row, which is the premier event for African-American fashion designers at New York Fashion Week. And you'll see that in this first episode, which features the incredible woman behind the event, it's not just about fashion. There is that honest exchange, those vulnerable conversations that are coming through in these episodes. So it's delivering both on fashion, for instance, but also that need to seek and see yourself in a vulnerable way and to start that dialogue among women. So here is episode one of The No.
Always ask the question. The answer can only be yes or no. But if you don't ever ask, the answer is automatically no. And so I kind of have lived my life in that way where I will ask almost anything just because I always think, what if I don't ask? If I don't ask, I'll never know the answer. When I first started Harlem's Fashion Row, it was just an idea that I had, and I was freshly new to New York. I'd been here for 2 years, and I went to a fashion show in Brooklyn, and while I was there, I thought, I should do this in Harlem. I started to research specifically designers of color, and I could barely find any.
Oh my gosh, when I think about how many fashion designers that are women of color, I don't have a lot.
Honestly, at first, I thought I must have been missing something. I found out that this was actually the case. There were only 3 or 4 designers of color in the industry, and I just knew I want to be a part of the solution. This is why this idea that felt like it was only an event was so much bigger than an event. There's actually a challenge here. How do I connect these incredibly talented designers with people in the fashion industry who can actually help push their careers forward?
If we didn't have Brandis to give us this platform, then we wouldn't have any platform.
I think people like Brandis have helped to open up a conversation about design and about who we see on the runway.
People seeing themselves represented makes them feel like they can do it too. We're always so happy to support Harlem Fashion Row. Each year gets better and better.
2011, we had a big sponsor come on board. We went from a really kind of smaller place in Harlem to Jazz at Lincoln Center, which is like premier venue in New York City, right? And people were like, wow, they've really made it. So we were there 2011, 2012, and 2013. And then in 2014, in February, I didn't have any sponsors. We were like a month before the event. And so I said, okay, what do I need to do? So I sold t-shirts, I sold sweatshirts, I asked friends for donations. And it was really coming to grips with my own ego, but I literally used money from donations and t-shirt sales to fund the 2014 event. And had I not done that event, I would not have made this amazing relationship with Dapper Dan.
She is the first one after 30 years to invite me to come to an occasion and do a speaking engagement. That was before I had a partnership with Gucci. That was before I had a book deal with Random House. That was before I had a movie deal with Sony. And it's just so amazing.
If something is really your purpose, you kind of rise to the challenge. I am realizing some of my dreams, but I have so many more. After our 10th year, I actually said out loud, I'm not really interested in just doing an event and bringing on sponsors. I want to do real partnerships because my end goal is to make sure that the designers are seen, that they have the resources to build their businesses, that I'm creating real valuable opportunities for them. And so I felt like brand partnerships was one way to do that. And I got a phone call maybe 4 weeks later about the opportunity with Nike and LeBron James.
This year is extra special with Nike and LeBron James launching this incredible new shoe that's a tribute to Black women.
I believe and I stand with Nike every day, all day. Love y'all.
It has not been an easy process. I'm an outsider. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. But when something kind of speaks to your heart, and like even now, I can feel myself getting emotional. I think that when something speaks to your heart, you have a choice to make. And you can either decide that you're gonna be a bystander and say, oh, that's so terrible, or you're actually gonna do something.
So if you liked what you saw, shameless plug, follow The Know on Facebook. New episodes every week, 3 to 5 minutes long, non-promotional. What was I going to say? So that's what it is. I mean, we just showed you what it is. How did we get there? How did we know it was going to be a success? Is it a success? I had to do my due diligence because there was some internal hesitancy to launching this. So we took to social and launched a survey and got over 5,000 responses, four to 5,000 responses from our social community. And we asked them things like, do you care about lifestyle content? Do you trust OWN to curate it for you? Are you influenced by social influencers or you know, the leading voices and cultivators on social media? If we were to add a branded sponsor to these videos and perhaps it says, you know, The Know brought to you by Target or brought to you by Toyota Motors, is that gross to you? Like, we asked all these questions to know sort of just what direction we could go in and how far we could push the envelope. And then we also brought together a room of 20 some odd of those cultivators, those women who are the leading voices and audience builders on social media for our audiences specifically, to ask them what stories are they not seeing, or what are they not, what do they want to do on social that they aren't being able to do? And again, this idea of this community that is The Know continued to rise, and the feedback that we got was so positive. So all in all, it really boiled down to these seven things that we heard from our audience. They did want curated lifestyle content. Thank God, check. They told us the topics that matter to them, right? We gave them things like to choose from: fashion, food, relationship, spirituality, home and home decor, holidays, back to school, all of those different types of verticals. And they ranked it for us and told us which ones matter to them. So we had that going for us. They, at the end of the day, are craving guidance. You know, Miss Winfrey's no longer in your television room, you're on your television in your living rooms at 4 p.m. every afternoon. And people are missing that, especially in the environment that we're in today. And these cultivators, these leading voices on social, are really those proxy Oprahs that can help sort of tell you what to think, what to buy, and steer that conversation. So, check. They're comfortable with branded content. I think it was something like 80% of them said that they weren't put off by seeing that a video is brought to them by an advertiser. And think of your own behavior. We all understand that in order to get the content that we love, somebody has to pay for it. They trust OWN to curate it. Really, there is no other brand that has built this level of credibility with women of color, as Oprah, and thus her halo over the network. So we certainly had the credibility to do this and do this well. They are seeking, our audiences are seeking connection and a safe space to be real. And that's exactly what the Facebook group that is paired with this Facebook Watch series is for, is to build that community and have that area where women can have this dialogue and have these conversations. And lastly, they are positively impacted by social influencers. And I hate that word, so I like to call them cultivators because I think that's what they do. But again, there was something like 75 or 80% of our respondents said that they had bought something that had been peddled by one of these women, or that they had been influenced to research something that they'd read or heard of from one of these women. So all in all these seven really key takeaways were that green light that we knew that this had some legs to it. And again, to an earlier point that no one was able to do this besides us, and how this was really a singular opportunity for us to own. You know, OWN is by default with our leader, Miss Winfrey, really universally recognized as a brand of respect and integrity and relevance. And the brand can build that trust digitally as it has on air. That's what we felt. And OWN's social content is really well poised to expand from promotion to lifestyle content that women could share and discuss, right? And we heard that both consumers and thought leaders wanted to participate in this kind of content-rich environment. And what we knew from our conversations during the upfronts with our advertisers is that they too are looking for a place where there's these authentic conversations happening. It's getting harder and harder to find these places and spaces to own these conversations as an advertiser, and to have it be populated with video-rich content that an advertiser can sponsor. So not all of the content in the know will be sponsored, but certainly there will be an entry point for advertisers there. And lastly, social media platforms. I think you've probably heard the term meaningful interactions from Facebook, which they coined earlier this year when they made their algorithm changes. And that's really the way that they all are moving, is towards putting the emphasis back on community and conversation and connection. And so the thing that I love the most about The Know is that it serves many masters. It serves our advertisers, it serves our social partners like Facebook, it serves our audiences, it serves our digital and social publishing teams. It's really truly multifaceted. And that leads me right into sort of what those benefits are for us. Again, it reinforces our brand as innovative, as a trusted place to meet the needs of our African American women audiences without being promotional back to our television shows. So we are giving something without taking something or asking for something. It creates a new revenue stream through social advertising. It widens the impact and deepens our relationship between our viewers. And it serves really as a feedback loop and a development pipeline, because of all these episodes and these women that we are filming with and putting into this community, we can see, like, what are people gravitating towards? Is she, or is this group of women, could they be a podcast? Can they be a linear television show? And it's really a low risk, relatively cost efficient way of creating a development pipeline. And so, again, we launched this a few weeks ago. We're now on episode 3. I think episode 3 launched this past Monday. And we're already up to 300,000 views across these episodes, purely organic, no paid support behind those, over 10,000 social interactions. And episode one was our number one most watched organic video in the past 6 weeks. So more viewers are watching these videos than our promotional materials. So it really is proving the hypothesis of what we believe to be true, that this was an unarticulated need and that we could deliver on it. And so I think I have like 2 minutes left. So some final thought starters from this second and final case study. One, I think this is the most critical question to be asking is, what are your consumers' unarticulated needs? What do they want that you aren't giving them and that others aren't as well? Like, if I think I was preparing last night and I thought about who's in this room and I thought about Fujifilm. And if you get to the core, because they're in the room today, I think, if you get to the core of film and photos, it's about a memory. You're capturing a moment in time. You're capturing a trip or an event. And it's so insanely emotional, the essence of a photograph. And so maybe there's something missing there that people want to share their photographs with others, or how they take a photo with others. There's probably something there that your audiences and your consumers are craving, and you just have to find it. And I think if you can find what that essence of your brand and your product is and deliver that in a community for your consumers, you endear them to your brand ever more. I think we have to think about a shift from what I call vanity metrics, like video views, which are certainly still helpful, to village metrics, comments, meaningful interactions, and connection. If you're going to build a community and focus on a brand community like The Know, those metrics are so much more important than just video views. I know I just bragged about the 300,000 video views, which is certainly nice to say, but it's more about the conversation threads that you're creating in that community. And I think I showed a couple quotes on the last slide, but we are seeing tremendous conversation. Third, you can use these communities as an entry point for new consumers, to reinforce the brand for your core consumers, and then again, as I mentioned, as an incubator for development. So think about those three things and how you could do those for your brand through a community. And then four, you don't have to do it alone, and this is where communities and social cultivators come in handy so well. You can widen the impact by assembling a community for your community. So all of the women that we are filming with for The Know, or the vast majority of them, already have a built-in, substantial, significant social audience, so they can share the materials that we're creating and the episodes we're creating. And again, it's a circuitous cycle, because when they share that, then that is an entry point for new consumers. It benefits them, it benefits us. So think about building a community for your community. And again, just to go back to the Fujifilm example, think about if you use Instagram, there are a slew of incredible Instagram photographers who have beautiful photography and massive audiences. Like, those are that's your community. So how can you tap in and how can you use them in a way that is beneficial to you and them? So I just want to say thank you for having me, and two things. One, after we're done, come stop me, say hi. I may be wearing all black, but I'm actually very friendly. I'd love to talk to you and to meet you. And as Mike mentioned, the speaker evaluation forms, I would love to hear your feedback and just know how you like this, because it's sort of like a fish doesn't know they live in water, because that's all they know. And so I just didn't even know, like, would this land with any of you? Like, is this helpful? Because I'm so in it that I can't see past it. So I would love to know if this was helpful and what you took away from it. So thank you all.
Thank you so much, Connor. Now, see, I told you all it was going to be tough to keep a list of three implement for impact items across the whole conference. I got eight from your thought starters right now. So thank you very much. We are really tight on time, but I know you guys have got questions. Let's at least get one question out here for Connor, and then everybody else can just sort of gang up on him at breaks and talk. Who's got a question for Connor?
Oh, now you scared him.
Oh, so right here.
Lots of pressure. I'm the only question. So I work with I'm in post-secondary education, and so what really, one of the things you said that really resonated with me, of course, was your first case study, but it fell over into the second one, which is, you know, the publish with nuance, find where your community is, and you know, without having expensive listening tools that, like, I don't have at my disposal, is the only answer a shrapnel approach? Like, you just got to be everywhere and hope you find them? How can you find them?
How can you find your audience?
Yeah.
And where do you work?
I'm with Carleton University in Ottawa, okay. Ontario, Canada.
So who are you trying to find? Like your student, the
well,
students?
We have a multidimensional sort of demographic because we have a lot of different agendas, but let's just say students, yes.
How do you find them?
With certainty.
With
not certainty. Anecdotally. I can do that.
Yeah, I think certainly, one of the easiest approaches is to be everywhere, right? Because then you can just, spray into the universe and hope it sticks. Or I think you don't have to have expensive listening tools. We had a relatively no-frills survey tool that we used to launch that survey to know if we were going to be successful. But there are free ones, and there's, you know, you could use a Google form and you could put that on social and ask questions like where do you spend your time, and put together a time map throughout a day and find where those places and spaces are for no cost at all, I think. Yeah.
That's awesome, and I loved your presentation. It did resonate. So.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny because I always start writing questions as a presenter speaks, because I know if we don't have questions, my first one was, okay, well, if I didn't have Oprah, how would I do these things you do? But Connor, you did a fantastic job of translating, not a unique, but a very unusual and rare situation with a lot of content asset, a global brand CEO, but make it very relatable for every brand in the room. There's takeaways there and things that we can use. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
One more time, Connor LaBosse, fantastic presentation.
Thank you.